The Index Astartes, a history of the Space Marine Legions and subsequent chapters, where appropriate, up to the 13th Black Crusade. The White Scars, known and feared throughout the Imperium for their highly mobile way of war. The Space Marines of the White Scars are the masters of the lightning strike method of attack, able to tear into their foes and vanish before they can respond. Fierce warriors, bearing the ritual scars of bravery, they fight with all the tribal savagery of their homeworld and bring swift death to all enemies of the Imperium. The Apocrypha of Scaros speaks of the White Scars only rarely, and even then the text is coloured by the fact that much of what is said comes from the White Scars themselves. One legend tells that their young Primarch set out on his own from Terra to discover the galaxy for himself, while another speaks of him being abducted as a baby. The truth is likely to be somewhere in between. Whatever the true story, the Liber Historica Vingalia records that Jagatai Khan arrived at a world in the Segmentum Pacificus designated by Imperial cartographers as Mundus Planus, but known to its inhabitants as Chagoris. It was, and still is, a fertile world with lush greenery, soaring mountains and azure seas, which, at the time of the Great Crusade, had achieved a black powder level of technology. A census imperialis of the day records that the dominant Chagoran Empire at this time was an organized aristocracy which had conquered most of the planet, with well-equipped and highly disciplined armies. Armored horsemen and densely packed blocks of infantry had won every campaign their ruler, the Palatine, had fought. The history of the White Scars begins when Jagatai Khan, one of the greatest military strategists of all time, it is thought that one of his generals, Ogadai, penned the Great Khan of Quanzhou after the Primarch's disappearance. And it is this ancient text which has provided imperial historians with one of the best accounts of his life. Chagoran sources have also left copious and often wildly exaggerated records of his exploits. To the west of Palatine's empire was a vast wind-blown steppe known as the Empty Quarter, home to nomadic tribes of savage horsemen who for centuries had roamed the vast grasslands. The tribes of the steppe lived in tents and followed a cycle of seasonal migration from summer pastures to protected winter valleys in the Qam Kata Mountains. Consummate horsemen and archers, these disparate tribes frequently fought one another for control of ancestral pasture land or, as Ogadai's opus would have it, the sheer joy of battle. Chagorian armies had never invaded the Empty Quarter, as the dry and desolate lands were of no value to the Palatine. However, Chagorian nobles would often lead hunting bands into the steppes and take whole tribes east as slaves, or capture a lone tribesman to hunt through the mountains for sport. Many passages in the Great Khan are devoted to detailing the full extent of Chagorian atrocities. The blood rituals and sacrifices described within these passages have led many imperial scholars to postulate that the Palatine's empire may have been dedicated to the worship of the dark gods. Jagatai Khan's legend began near the Kwannon River when Ong Khan, the leader of a small tribe known as the Talskars, encountered the Primarch. He believed that the growing child was a gift from the gods and took him into his family and named him Jagatai. It was said of Jagatai that since his early childhood, he had a fire in his eyes, a Talskar term for a great warrior. It was also said about him that rival tribes hated the child because he had the wisdom to see beyond the constant warfare of the steppes. A colourful passage in the Great Khan of Quanzhou, known as the Blooding, relates that while Jagatai was young, raiders from the rival Kuriad tribe slew his adopted father and killed many of Talskar's men in a vicious ambush. Jagatai was already the greatest warrior amongst his tribe, with many ritual scars of courage, and warriors flocked to join him when he set out to avenge these deaths. He led an attack on the Kuriad village and razed it to the ground, killing every man, woman and child in a frenzied massacre. Jagatai bathed in his enemy's blood and took their chieftain's head to mount above his tent. It was these events that were to shape the Primarch into the man he would become, a man of fierce honour, loyalty, and ruthlessness. With blood and honour satisfied, Jagatai swore to bring an end to the destructive internecine wars that were destroying his people, to unite the people of the Empty Quarter and to bring an end to brother fighting brother. Following this victory, Jagatai became Khan of the Talskars and fought many battles against Chogorian hunting bands and other tribes of the steppes. Each defeated tribe was brought within the Talskars and became part of his army. His military talents and the sheer force of his personality won him many followers, and soon his warriors numbered like the stars, the army becoming known as the Mathuli, a Talskar word meaning irresistible force. He made military service mandatory and combined warriors of different tribes into the same units to break up tribal associations, fostering a fierce loyalty to the army and ultimately to himself. He promoted men purely on the basis of ability and brought a feeling of shared purpose to everyone he came into contact with. 10 summers after Jagatai's victory against the Kuriyat, while the army was moving to its winter camp in the mountains, Jagatai was pitched from the treacherous cliffs when a freak avalanche carried him and dozens of others thousands of feet to the rocks below. After much lamentation, the tribe continued onwards, but while the fall had killed the tribesmen, the Primarch managed to survive. Chogorian history records that at this time, a hunting band led by the Palatine's only son discovered a wounded tribesman deep in the mountains and began hunting him through the snows. What exactly happened in the freezing valleys of the mountains is unknown, but a single, horribly mutilated rider tied to his saddle was all that finally returned to Chogorian lands. The head of the Palatine's son hung around his neck. The man also carried a message from Jagatai. The people of the steppe are yours no longer. When the snows retreated, the enraged Palatine gathered an army and marched west, determined to wipe the barbarian tribes from the face of the planet. But he had underestimated the skill and cunning of Jagatai Khan. In the Valley of the Khans, on the Losan Plain, the Palatine's armies met Jagatai's forces. The battle was said to have lasted a day and a night. The tribes of the steppe fought like they hunted. A ring of lightning-fast horsemen coordinated movements to corral the human quarry. Unlike their enemy, who wore heavy steel mail, the Mathuli wore light leather armor, allowing for less protection but greater mobility. Accustomed to decisive hand-to-hand combat with their foes, the Palatine's army was no match for the Khan's horsemen and their relentless bowfire. Though significantly outnumbered, Jagatai outmaneuvered, outthought, and outfought them. The defeated Palatine and his bodyguard were only just able to fight their way through the Mathuli Ring of Death and fled to the capital city. Those soldiers who remained were slaughtered, almost to a man. One Chogorian survivor described the battle plain as an ocean of blood. The tribal leaders and holy men, the storm seers, gathered after the battle and proclaimed Jagatai the Great Khan, ruler of all within the lands. Jagatai Khan then began the invasion of the Palatine's realm, three of his armies drawing off forces by attacking cities on the outskirts of his enemy's domain. Jagatai and his most able general, Subadai, led another army across a secret route through the Khwezel Khwan Desert, a region believed to be impenetrable. Emerging seemingly from nowhere, Jagatai's army surprised the Palatine's garrison at the gates of Kushaba and slaughtered the entire force. Other cities fell in quick succession, and Chogorian historians record that bodies littered the roads like stones in a quarry. Raised fields smoldered, and those few who were spared the carnage prayed for deliverance from the fury of the Khan. In the years that followed, Jagatai's army overran Chogorian lands, defeating their best armies, storming their walled cities and slaying its nobles. Cities that lay in Jagatai Khan's path had two choices: surrender or face total destruction. Never before had such pillage and plunder been witnessed. Some sources claim that millions were killed by the bloodthirsty tribesmen, but contemporaries of Jagatai Khan assert that these figures are vastly inflated. However, it is certain that many hundreds of thousands died, and the people of the Chogorian Empire believe that the devil-faced savages were supernatural demons, exacting divine punishment for the sins of man. Eventually, Jagatai's invasion reached the Palatine stronghold, Kopasta, a magnificently rich city on the eastern coast. He demanded his enemy's head on a spear, or the city would die, and he would leave no stone standing. Within the hour, a group of nobles from the city brought him that very thing. The Khan's power now stretched from ocean to ocean, the largest empire the planet had ever known, conquered by a single man in less than 20 years. Though Jagatai Khan dominated a vast area, he knew that his people had no desire to rule such a realm. His new empire had grown from his urge to unite the tribes and exact vengeance upon his enemies, not from any hunger to occupy their lands. Ultimate power rested with the Khan and his generals, and although they were well organized militarily, the tribes had no developed concept for ruling settled populations. The historian Carpinus, who compiled the detailed history of the Great Crusade, the so-called Speculum Historiae, noted that Jagatai's armies finished the destruction of the Palatine's realm a mere 6 months before the Emperor reached Chagoris. When the two men met, it is said that the Khan knew he had met someone who embodied the ultimate ideal he had striven for, a man who could unite all the stars in the sky. At his palace in the city of Quanzhou, in front of all his generals, he dropped to one knee and swore eternal fealty to the Emperor. The Primarch was given command of the 5th Legion, which adopted the long facial scars of the Tauskar tribesmen that ran from forehead to chin, and renamed themselves the White Scars. The Great Khan ascended to the heavens with the Emperor, passing the Khanship to his general Ogadai. Many of Jagatai's followers elected to join their Khan and became space marines within the Legion. The White Scars went on to fight in some of the bloodiest battles of the Great Crusade, and the lightning-fast style of warfare employed by Jagatai Khan on the steppe would prove to be equally effective on the nightmare battlefields of distant worlds. During the Horus Heresy, when the Imperium tore itself apart in a bloody galactic civil war, the White Scars fought in scores of different worlds, and their banners indicate that the Legion helped to defend Terra and fought at the gates of the Imperial Palace. Jagatai Khan fought alongside his warriors for perhaps another 70 years before his eventual disappearance in a region of space close to the Maelstrom. After the defeat of Horus, Jagatai had embarked on a quest to rescue his fellow tribesmen captured by the Eldar in his absence during the Great Crusade. The White Scars maintain that he and his veteran warriors fought the leader of one of the murderous alien cabals, and that they were drawn into the horrifying realm that exists outside of space and time to battle the Dark Eldar for all eternity. How much of this tale can be taken at face value is uncertain, and it is more than likely that the Khan's ship was simply lost in the war, as travel through this region of space is fraught with peril. The Lost Kin. The Great Khan of Quanzhou dedicates an entire volume to the lost kin of the White Scars. This volume tells that many years after Jagatai's departure with the Emperor on the Great Crusade, an evil storm fell upon the world of Chagoris in the shape of the Eldar's Dark Brothers, who brought terror and pain on a scale never before seen. With their superior technology and weaponry, the aliens were able to easily defeat the scattered tribes, and tens of thousands of slaves were dragged screaming from the planet. It was only following the death of Horus that Jagatai learned of these terrible events and swore mighty oaths of vengeance against the Dark Eldar. The Khan was relentless in his pursuit, and it is said that during the horrifying Battle of Coruscel V, he and his First Brotherhood pursued a mighty Dark Eldar Lord through a pulsing gateway to the Shadow Realm of Blood, which these degenerate alien call home. The alien portal closed before the rest of the Khan's soldiers could follow, and the mighty Jagatai Khan vanished forever from the Imperium. Robbed of their Khan, the White Scars have held an enduring and unquenchable hatred for these bloodthirsty aliens, and whenever the White Scars encounter the Dark Eldar, their fury knows no bounds. To this day, the ultimate fate of Jagatai Khan remains a mystery, and whether he and his warriors still battle between dimensions or have long since perished, none can say. Jubal Khan, Great Khan of the White Scars. When the Great Khan of the White Scars dies, the Stormseers of the chapter gather in the deepest caves of Kwam Kata in the Valley of the Khans to decide upon his successor. Each Brotherhood Khan who believes himself worthy must present himself before the Stormseers and prove himself to them. The horrors the Stormseers subject each claimant to are a mystery, and those that survive the trials never speak of them. When the Great Khan Kayuble vanished fighting the Dark Eldar in 943-M41, four hopefuls gathered in the Kwam Kata Mountains. Only Jubal Khan survived the Stormseers' ordeals and returned to Quanzhou to be anointed Great Khan. Since then, Jubal Khan has proved himself time and time again, leading many successful campaigns against Orcs, Tyranids, Eldar, and countless other alien races. During the Jopal Uprising, his First Brotherhood was so successful at destroying enemy supply lines and disrupting communication that a huge proportion of the main rebel strength was diverted from frontline operations to deal with them. Imperial Guard regiments were then able to smash through the weakened rebel line and bring the insurrection to a close. Jabal Khan is currently involved in the Armageddon War, where Imperial forces have been stretched to the limit after Gaskull's invasion. The Great Khan's forces are launching lightning raids on Orc-held worlds and vanishing like smoke before the Greenskins can muster sufficient strength to engage them. Thus far, his White Scars have proved to be instrumental in delaying many Orc offensives, allowing Imperial garrisons to better prepare for the onslaught. White Scars' operations in the Deadlands region of Armageddon were so successful that they were able to effectively destroy an entire Orc brigade without taking a single casualty or expanding a single round of ammunition. Homeworld. Chogoris is a fertile world that still exists in a semi-feudal state. With the departure of the Great Khan, Ogadai became the new leader of the tribes, and while he was a great warrior, he was no Jagatai Khan. Without the Primarch, the tribes soon returned to their warring ways, and within the space of a few years, the unified nation created by Jagatai had ceased to exist. The tribes went back to their homelands, and life carried on much as it had before the arrival of the Great Khan. Some of the Primarch's biographers claim that Jagatai Khan must have known that this would happen, and yet left anyway. They suggest that perhaps he desired it in order to keep his people strong, to provide future recruits for his new legion. Indeed, in the millennia that followed, many men would rise to unite the tribes, but none as spectacularly as Jagatai Khan. To this day, the leader of the White Scars is known as the Great Khan and dwells in Jagatai's palace of Quan Zo, atop the highest, most inaccessible peak in the Quam Kata Mountains. The marbled fortress monastery is a magnificent sight, but few outsiders have ever been allowed within. The city and its savage beauty is famed throughout the Segmentum, and its walls are said to contain rivers and forests, running with game, which the Khan hunts for sport. The storm seers of the White Scars venture down into the steppe every 10 summers to observe the tribes and their battles, picking the best and bravest warriors and returning them to Quan Zo to become space marines. The pyre tombs of fallen White Scars in the Quam Kata, which means the mountains that scrape the stars, are places of great pilgrimage for young tribal warriors, and those that survive a journey through one of these dangerous valleys are considered especially courageous. Combat Doctrine. The method of war, taught to the tribes by Jagatai Khan, has served them well in the millennia following his reunification with the Emperor. Lightning-fast hit-and-run attacks by highly mobile forces that destroy the enemy piece by piece, and to never allow a decisive engagement, is their modus operandum. Speeding bikes and ultra-rapid deployment means that the White Scars can react much more swiftly than most chapters, and are almost never outmaneuvered on the battlefield. Heavily armored opponents find themselves chasing shadows, as the White Scars encircle their forces and attack where they are weakest. Many an enemy who thought himself safe behind his lines has learned the error of his ways when howling White Scar scout bikers come speeding out of nowhere to attack his flanks and rear. Having been born in the saddle, the scouts regularly take to the field of battle mounted on their bikes. Though the Space Marines of the White Scars prefer to keep their enemy at arm's length, they are fully capable of engaging in bloody assaults. The elite bike squads are rightly feared, and assault squads dropping from the skies on trails of fire and attacking with howling bloodlust are a terrifying sight with their fearsome scarred faces. Organization. The predominant organizational unit among the people of the steppe is the tribe, and a measure of this is true of the chapter itself. Fierce rivalries, blood feuds, and internecine warfare are a way of life for the young men of the steppe, and help to prepare them for when they must fight to prove their worth to the chapter's stormseers. However, once a warrior has been chosen to join the White Scars, his tribal allegiance is replaced with loyalty to the Great Khan of the chapter. Warriors from different tribes are therefore mixed with one another in squads to break up individual tribal loyalties. Squads are then organized into brotherhoods, units which are roughly equivalent in size to a Codex company, though on average are slightly smaller. The remainder of the chapter is organized slightly differently to most Codex chapters, due to the higher proportion of bike squads and land speeder squadrons. The White Scar's preferred fighting style does not allow them the use of as many heavy weapons as other chapters, and as a result they have no Devastator squads. Their reliance on fast-moving fire support also means that most tanks are too slow for the White Scar's, and those they do have are stripped-down versions that can keep up with the rest of the army. Dreadnoughts are not employed by the White Scar's, as the cold metal sarcophagi of these mighty constructions evoke a horror of eternal confinement that goes against the White Scar's philosophy that when a warrior dies, his soul should be free to travel the afterlife. Beliefs. The White Scar's Space Marines hold true to the vision of Jagatai Khan in the ultimate unification of humanity. They venerate the Emperor as the ultimate uniter and as their founding father, but not as a deity. The Stormseers teach that it is the White Scar's duty to destroy the enemies of the Emperor in preparation for the day when he will rise from the Golden Throne to begin the next great crusade to unify the galaxy. And on that day, Jagatai Khan will return from the Void to once again lead his people to their destiny. The lightning bolt is a potent symbol to the White Scars, as it exemplifies their style of battle and echoes the warrior scars they bear on their faces. It also represents the lightning which the Stormseers call to smite their enemies, and these sinister warriors preach that so long as the spirits of air and land heed their call, the White Scars will never falter in battle. Gene Seed. The Gene Seed of the White Scars appears to be stable, and initially displayed no aberrations or mutation. However, with the introduction of genetic material from the Steppes tribesmen, the genome seems to have inherited their wild savagery and thirst for war. Despite the teachings of the Khans and Stormseers, it is not unheard of for tribal feuds to flare up between fellow squad members. In addition to this, there have been several recorded instances where White Scar's brotherhoods have bloodily exceeded their mission objectives, such as the infamous Red Highway Massacre. Whether such incidents are as a result of some inherent flaw in the White Scar's genetic material or came about after the integration of the tribesmen is unknown, but the Adeptus Mechanicus is eager to know which. The White Scar's successor chapters, the Rampagers, Marauders, Destroyers, and the Stormlords, are all equally ferocious and fine examples of the combat teachings of Jagatai Khan. Battle cry for the Khan and the Emperor. Well, there we go. The history, the short history of the White Scar's Legion. And again, some slight alterations and stuff. These things were all before the heresy was laid out properly. And we added, you know, these additional details were added in about the Primarch's lives and stuff. But I think the White Scar's one is pretty accurate to what we do know. So, yeah, I mean, I've always enjoyed the White Scar's. They always have a... I mean, it's cool. It's blatantly just Genghis Khan, right? Which is always good fun. anyway, thank you all for supporting the channel. You can see your name scrolling by here. If you'd like to join this band of heroes, please do consider becoming a channel member, becoming a supporter on Patreon, or I've got Subscribestar because I know some people don't like either of those choices. But yeah, if you'd like to assist me, those are the ways to do it. Otherwise, I will see you next time. Please remember to like the video, subscribe if you're not subscribed, hit the bell, blah, 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 all that stuff. Thanks very much. See you next time. Bye-bye.